Okay. Before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're reading from this sparkly book, it's page 429, a new section entitled Light in the Dream. If you're reading from the second edition, it's page 378, same new subject, same new section. In the first edition, it is page 352. In the JCIM, it is page 179. And if you are reading from the CIMS edition, it's page 361. Again, a new section, Light in the Dream. Let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. We ended up last time with these sentences. The dream of waking is easily transferred to its reality, for this dream comes from your will, joined with the will of God. And what this will would have accomplished has never not been done. In the act of creation, in the movement from which you emerged as the Father's self-expression, you were joined with the Father. Your will was joined with the Father's. And there was no attempt on your part, and no imaginative reason being held to justify being at odds with the Father's will. The experience of being with the Father's will, being in alignment, flowing with the Father's will, caused you to experience heaven, caused you to experience the unalterable divinity of everything. Now, since that was established from the beginning, you are not now in your process of awakening working toward a state of being that you never had before, that is totally foreign to you, and which would make it very difficult to shift from a misperception to the conscious experience of reality. You see, awakening is a movement in which it becomes clear to you that what you thought you had accomplished on your own, which inadvertently resulted in a human condition subject to sin, disease, and death, never was accomplished. If you had actually succeeded in establishing some real existent different from God, you would have altered God. You would have caused God to be something less than he is. And that's impossible. Now, the problem is that you think you have accomplished creating things on your own and made them real. What makes that problematic is that it causes you to be unable to fathom how you could be something different from the definitions you have given yourself, the definitions others have given you, the definitions you've given to the world, all of which are different from God. And yet, that's all it takes to wake up. All it takes is for you to be able to fathom the possibility that what seems real to you as a result of your own actions is not real at all, never was real, never became real, God never stopped being what he is, and therefore the you that at the moment of creation, whose will was at one with the Father, are unchanged and have always been unchanged. And so waking up is not a matter of accomplishing something and becoming something different from what you are. It's actually you abandoning the idea that you are something different from what the Father has created. It's not true. And so, awakening is best described as a miracle, a sudden shift of perception. A sudden shift of perception in which you begin to fathom the truth as being totally true about you right now. And that what the Father created you as, you still are. And you haven't been able to alter that in the slightest. You see? Waking up is only going to be a matter of a shift of perception. It's not going to be turning you into something incredibly different from what you are right now. That's why it's easy. A shift of perception is easy. All of you have experienced shifts of perception in your lives, where you believed one way and suddenly you were able to see a different way and you shifted. Your perception shifted and the ignorance you had been governed by before then is now absent and you're no longer governed by it. This is very important to understand. This course is not so long, is not as extensive as it is, because what you're going to need to do is going to be so difficult. It's so long because it's difficult for you to fathom reality as being not only possible, but actual right now, while you're still part of a material world and universe, as a mortal, you see. While this experience is still going on, you must begin to fathom the fact that it's not true, and that no matter how absolutely sure you are of it, it can be left behind in a wink of an eye, in a sudden, simple shift of perception. New section, Light and the Dream. You who have spent your lives in bringing truth to illusion, meaning you who have brought the meanings of creation that God has enacted, those who have brought these things to a place in you where it is, where they are put through a process of redefinition in your mind through the use of your imagination. That's called bringing truth to illusion, bringing reality to the threshold of your mind, and then operating on it through the use of your imagination. You're bringing truth to a place where you are transforming it into what it is not and believing that you've done it. That's bringing truth to illusion. So, you who have spent your lives in bringing truth to illusion, reality to fantasy, have walked the way of dreams. I don't have to keep saying that you didn't do it on purpose. But whether you knew what you were doing or not, that is what was done. And until you bring God into the picture, relative to everything you're experiencing, you're continuing to bring reality to fantasy. But the minute you say, wait a minute, the moment you decide to shut up and practice the two-step and move into the holy instant, you reverse the flow, so to speak, and you bring fantasy to reality. You bring yourself to a place where you're willing to abandon your definitions, your fantasies, your beliefs, and inquire of the source of all, God, what is the truth here? I want to know the truth. I want to exchange my fantasies for reality. So, whether you like it or not, you who have spent your lives in bringing truth to illusion, reality to fantasy, have walked the way of dreams. What's the meaning of the Christmas message? Stepping out of the dream. Waking up, coming back into your right mind. Joining me as my brother or sister. Knowing that you are my brother or sister. You see? So you've walked the way of dreams, yes. For you have gone from waking to sleeping, and on to a yet deeper sleep. How do you do that? Oh, the sleep gets deeper and deeper by means of all the additional definitions and mutual agreements that are brought into play for self-satisfaction, for self-aggrandizement, for control, and to attempt to become something real in your own right. It is like government in a way. Mutual definitions are arrived at, mutual agreements are arrived at, and mutual agreements on top of mutual agreements are brought into play until it becomes very difficult to know what the first mutual agreements were that make the ones you're making now reasonable and valid and worth embracing. You see, it gets more and more complex. Each dream has led to other dreams, and every fantasy which seemed to bring a light into the darkness, but made the darkness deeper. Your goal was darkness, in which no ray of light could enter. What does that mean? It means that your goal was to make up your own definitions and meanings and commit yourself to them at the expense of the conscious experience of what those newly defined things actually were. So what they actually were could not enter any longer. And so again, your goal was darkness. Your goal was fantasy, in which no ray of light could enter, and you sought a blackness so complete that you could hide from truth forever in complete insanity. If you arrive at a point where you believe that you have made yourself real and valid by virtue of authority you have imagined you have and have exercised, then you create an ignorance so complete that the real meaning of everything cannot enter, the light cannot enter. A blackness so complete that you could hide from truth forever. In complete insanity. What does that mean? It means you could hide in this definition of yourself and this sense of who you are and how you work and where you came from and how important you are. You see? What you forgot was simply that God cannot destroy himself. No matter how much fantasy you collect and assemble so that it looks like something valid, a real you, no matter how much you engage in that and how committed you are to it, God cannot destroy himself. Therefore, he hasn't, and therefore, you haven't become anything less than what he created. This is the fact that you're coming to a point of recognizing by means of a shift of perception, by means of the miracle. It's that simple. The light is in you. Always has been. Never went anywhere. Even though you have ignored it, blinded yourself to it by committing to a belief about yourself so insane that there's just no way for you to recognize the light in you, but it's there. And that's why I'm here telling you about it. And that's why the Course is here telling you about it. Because you need to be reminded of something that's already so, not something you have to achieve. The light is in you. darkness can cover it, but cannot put it out. If it cannot put it out, it has not put it out. And therefore what you divinely are is fully present, with full capacity, at this very instant. You cannot fathom it, but you must let yourself begin to. Now, as the light comes nearer, you will rush to darkness, shrinking from the truth. As the light comes nearer. Now, why would the light be coming nearer? The light would be coming nearer because you've engaged in the holy instant. You have engaged in a holy relationship. Remember, that's the context of what this is about that we've been considering. And so you have decided to participate in a holy relationship, which means you've decided to bring God into the picture. Father, what is the truth about this one I'm in relationship with? I want to know the truth. I do not want to be hung up on who that one thinks he or she is, or who I think she is or he is. I want to get past that, you see? In that commitment, something automatically begins to happen. The light comes nearer. Now, as the light comes nearer, you will rush to darkness. So don't be surprised, and don't be too quick to judge yourself. You will rush to darkness, shrinking from the truth, sometimes retreating to the lesser forms of fear. You won't necessarily shift into the full-blown forms of fear. But you will, because of what you're afraid the truth is and what the truth will do to you, you will find yourself backing off from the commitment to a holy relationship. It will happen. Don't be surprised. And let it simply be a signal to you to get back on the beam, to make recommitment to your desire to ask God, what is the truth here about this one I'm in relationship with? Help me to see this one as you created him or her. Let me experience your perspective. You see, that's what causes the light to come nearer. And when you become afraid, you must remember to reinstate that intent. It's all that simple. As the light comes nearer, you will rush to darkness, shrinking from the truth, sometimes retreating to the lesser forms of fear, and sometimes to stark terror. You know, when you first said you'd rather see things your way, fear and guilt came into the picture and then became compounded. It isn't easy to come back home. It's simple, but it isn't easy to come back home because of your conditioned sense of yourself and of your guilt and of your unworthiness, and that there is a penalty of some sort that you must pay for what you've done in your attempt to be independent and deny your Father, God. So, but you will advance because your goal is the advance from fear to truth. What goal? The goal put into place by your engaging in a holy relationship through the use of the holy instant. Remember, You can have the intent and you can move along smoothly, and then something will happen that triggers a self-protective response in you, and that takes over your mind, and you forget that you're part of an agreement to engage in a holy relationship. And you've simply got to remind yourself of that so that you can recognize that this self-protection that you're engaging in absolutely blocks the holy relationship and does not serve you, so that no matter how reasonable it seems, how justifiable it is, you can say, "No, sir, I will have nothing to do with you. You have nothing to do with reality or my awakening or my experience of a holy relationship," and let it go. Your goal is the advance from fear to truth. You know this. Temporary memory loss sometimes, and you forget, but you do know it. The goal which you accepted is the goal of knowledge, or as I've said, knowing, for which you signified your willingness by entering into a holy relationship and desiring to stick with it. Fear seems to live in darkness, and when you are afraid, you have stepped back. That's all. You have stepped back. Let us then join quickly in an instant of light, and it will be enough to remind you that your goal is light. Truth has rushed to meet you since you called upon it. Isn't that? That's not only wonderful, it's important to know. When you desire to know the truth rushes forward to share itself with you. Be with that for a moment. Truth isn't a collection of facts listed on a page. Truth is the living presence of the conscious awareness of what is real. It is present because God created it that way, created it there, and also created it as that which has the intent to be known by every single part of creation. And so it is not inanimate. Again, not just a collection of facts. It's the true meaning of every single aspect of creation, which intends to share itself with you and with every part of creation. It's a living, active presence presenting itself. And the moment you desire to know the truth, truly know the truth, you will find it presenting itself to you. Sometimes that is frightening. Because you tend to think of truth as one of a pair. The other part of the pair is consequence. Truth or consequences. So truth is perceived and felt by everyone as something that brings with it penalty. Its job is to keep you in line. You see. But the purpose of truth is to reveal to you at the level of meaning and feeling that anything you thought you had accomplished that was a denial of yourself or the Father, you never accomplished. It never happened. Therefore, there is no foundation for a consequence of any kind, not as a result of knowing the truth. Now, you have already had the consequences of the intent to do what you can't do. Fear and guilt. Sin, sickness, and death. Pain, suffering. But those weren't the result of knowing the truth. Those weren't the fruits of truth rushing in and embracing you and embracing your mind in that which discloses your innocence. You see? If you knew who walks beside you on this way, which you have chosen, fear would be impossible. Well, who walks with you on this way? Well, the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind. It's inseparable from you, even if you're ignoring it. The Holy Spirit walks with you. All of the brotherhood, which is awake, walks with you, knows everything about you. Nothing about you is hidden from those who are awake. They see the Father. They look at you and are reminded of the Father. They remember God. That's what relationships do. Who else walks with you? I walk with you. And you know what? The Father, figuratively speaking, walks with you because the Father is being you and is therefore ever present and wholly present with you and as you. So if you knew who walks beside you on this way which you have chosen, the way of a holy relationship, fear would be impossible. You do not know, because the journey into darkness has been long and cruel, and you have gone deep into it. I know everyone's tired of it. A little flicker of your eyelids, closed so long, has not been sufficient to give you confidence in yourselves. You have all, in one way or another, experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind. All of you have experienced revelation in one way or another, at one time or another. And it has changed you. But you're immediately faced with the same world that you were perceiving before the illumination occurred. And so after the flicker of the eyelid, it's easy to become overwhelmed again by all the meanings you have given to everything and have believed for so long. A little flicker of your eyelids, closed so long, has not yet been sufficient to give you confidence in yourselves. Not confidence in yourselves as egos or as who you believed you were, but the experience of being invulnerable, of being utterly safe, because you are the son or daughter of God, and for a moment you have experienced it. The experience of it can be described as confidence in yourselves. Because when you experience it, you're not doubting. And I don't even have to say you're not doubting yourself. You're not doubting. And in the absence of doubt, your invulnerability, your wholeness, your reality, your eternality, all congeal in a form or a manner that you have no doubt about. And so one could say you have confidence in yourselves. Again, a little flicker of your eyelids, closed so long, has not yet been sufficient to give you confidence in yourselves, so long despised. I know, you didn't think you despised yourself. Some of you will acknowledge it. But the simple fact is, when you're walking around in a state of fear, feeling guilty about something, you're in a despicable place. And it must be because there's something despicable about you. It must be your fault, no matter how hard you try to put it out there on something or someone else. So, you go toward love, still hating it. I'm going to end terribly afraid of its judgment upon you. You must understand that this is the nature of the trip home. This is the nature of the mentality encountered as you yield up your faith. In all of the meanings that you've given. And the fearful sense of yourself that has accompanied you since you got your divorce from the Father and chose to ignore Him and, surprisingly, lost the experience of your own divinity and holy birthright. You go toward love, still hating it and terribly afraid of its judgment upon you, and you do not realize that you are not afraid of love, but only of what you have made of it. You see? And what you have made of it is the result of the use of imagination, which constitutes a perception that's not real, and perceptions are easily replaced. Misperceptions can disappear and be replaced by truth instantaneously at this moment. Not a complicated thing. You are advancing to love's meaning and away from all illusions in which you have surrounded it. You see? That's another way of saying that you are neither moving toward just a moment. When you retreat to the illusion, your fear increases, for there is little doubt that what you think it means is fearful. Yet what is that to us, who travel surely and very swiftly away from fear? Again, remember, you are engaged in a holy relationship, consciously and on purpose. That is the focal point of waking up, of the shift of perception. And you join with me, and you join with the Holy Spirit. And when your connection with us is more important than anything else, you will find that we will travel surely and very swiftly away from fear. You simply have to remember to return to our joint effort. You who hold each other's hand also hold mine. For when you joined each other, you were not alone. Right? We talked about the fact that when you join with each other for the purpose of having a holy relationship, you actually momentarily withdraw your attention from each other and give your attention to the Father or the Holy Spirit, so that you might ask, what is the truth about this one I'm in relationship with, so that the truth of it may infill you and spontaneously find expression in your relationship. So, you who hold each other's hand also hold mine, for when you joined each other, you were not alone. Do you believe that I would leave you in the darkness you agreed to leave with me? In your relationship is this world's light, the real light, the light of truth, the light of love. And fear must disappear before you now. That's inevitable. You just need to not lose faith. You just need to persist in the union with me or the Holy Spirit or the Father, desiring to be infilled with the experience of truth so that it might be easily shared, blessing your brother and being something you're able to keep. Be tempted not to snatch away the gift of faith you offered to each other. You will succeed only in frightening yourselves. But I will tell you, the temptation will be there. Just don't yield to it. The gift is given forever, for God Himself received it. You cannot take it back. You have accepted God. The practice of the holy relationship and the practice of the holy instant sets correction into motion, sets transformation, regeneration, and redemption into motion, sets awakening into motion. And because you're not totally ignorant any longer, it will persist whether you have momentary loss of faith. You have accepted God. The holiness of your relationship is established in heaven. You see? You do not understand what you accepted, but remember that your understanding is not necessary. It takes trust to let yourself be swept into the holy instant and all the meanings of a holy relationship, because you don't at this moment remember what it involves. You do not understand what you accepted, but remember that your understanding is not necessary. Why? Because the movement of the Holy Spirit in filling you with the truth puts you in a position of knowing. Being aware of something with conviction because it's so clear to you that what you're knowing is absolutely true. There is no question about it. There is no call for doubt. There is no occasion for fear. So understanding is not necessary, because knowing of the truth will be what you're experiencing. So you can dare to engage in what seems fearful to you, because you're abandoning control and yielding to that which you can't quite fathom yet. You're yielding to the Holy Spirit, your divinity, and you're yielding to the Father's will. You do not understand what you accepted, but remember that your understanding is not necessary. All that was necessary was merely the wish to understand. Father, what is the truth here? That's all that's necessary. You don't have to understand what the answer is going to be. It will be lovingly provided. All that was necessary was merely the wish to understand. That wish was the desire to be holy. The will of God is granted you. For you desire the only thing you ever had or ever were. You see? Being a mortal, being an ego, is the result of attempting to be what you're not and never were. And, of course, it hasn't worked. It has not been accomplished. But when you say, Father, what is the truth here? Father, what is the truth about this one I'm in relationship with? You are desiring the only thing you ever had or ever were, because it didn't go anywhere while you played in an insane imagination. Each instant that we spend together will teach you that this goal is possible. You see, that's the point. All of this is to bring clearly into the foreground the fact that the holy instant works. Don't forget that. The holy instant works. What you have been engaging in hasn't worked. So dare to risk the chance that the holy instant works, and that the Holy Spirit, which has been held in trust for you while you dallied with the ego, is still the only thing that's real about you and is available for you to experience now. each instant that we spend together, whether it's like this or whether it's directly with in the withinness of your being. Each instant that we spend together will teach you that this goal is possible and will strengthen your desire to reach it. Be persistent. Have faith. And in your desire lies its accomplishment. Your desire is now in complete accord with all the power of the Holy Spirit's will. You see, when you want to know the truth, your desire of the Holy Spirit is for the Holy Spirit to do what it's been held in trust to do, to join with you and bring you into joining with it, so that there is no confusion about who and what you are. No little faltering footsteps that you may take can separate your desire from His will and from His strength. I hold your hand. I hold your hand. I hold your hand. As surely as you agreed to take each other's, you will not separate, for I stand with you and walk with you and walk with you in your advance to truth. And where we go, we carry God with us. So, tonight we're talking in terms of confirmation of the fact that the holy instant is the meaning of the Christmas message, and that it's the undoing of something that never was done, but you believe was done, and hold yourself accountable for, and cause yourself to sin, be sick, and die, even though it cannot actually be done. And it is time for the undoing of the belief that it could be done and was done. Everyone likes to have a meaning to hold on to. A phrase or a slogan, a catchword. And so I'm going to yield to that and say that the meaning of this new year is the year of the miracle. The definition of miracle being the sudden shift, a sudden shift of perception. And I am saying that this is the year of the miracle in the sense that there will be multitudes who will be practicing the holy instant, engaging in a holy relationship or many holy relationships, and that will turn the tide. And the reason for the first Christmas will have been fulfilled. So I wish you a happy new year and an ongoing, fulfilling Christmas. And I look forward to being with you next week.